Chapter 8. Han had been in his share of scuffles, sure. Like the time that Grindlid caught him cheating at Sabacc. Well, not cheating, exactly. He was still figuring out how the game was played, and had made an honest mistake. Then, like always, Han had faced him down. He either came away from a fight victorious, or crawled away bloody, but he didn't back down. In fact, he preferred direct confrontation to innuendo sneaking around, or the complicated planning Kira seemed to prefer. But that didn't mean he went looking for trouble. And it didn't mean he particularly liked hurting people. So as Su'ulo walked up to his brother and tapped him on the shoulder, Han's gut was in a knot. Rizzo spun around, and his long snout mouth dropped open.
Su'ulo!
He squeaked out.
What are you doing here?
Han grabbed a Pilex driver that was lying on a tool cart and began to circle around behind Rizzo.
Rizzo,
Su'ulo said, his voice full of barely contained rage.
I see you've spent even more of our inheritance. Hollow flames? Really? I thought you said the money had run out. I won some,
he said, wiping his hands on his pants.
By racing, I'm getting a lot better.
Su'ulo snorted. Han raised the Pilex driver and prepared to whack Rizzo over the head. Then he got a better idea. A long rag swung from Rizzo's back pocket. Han whipped it out, flipped it over Rizzo's head and into his mouth, and yanked him backward. Rizzo started to flail, reaching for the gag. But Han kicked the back of his knee. Rizzo crumbled to the ground, dragging Han with him.
Someone grab his arms, quick! Han said. There's some cable on the tool cart.
A small form darted forward. Before Han could blink, a fist crashed into Rizzo's face. The Rodian boy swayed a moment, then slumped over, unconscious. Han looked up to find Kira standing over them, cradling her right fist.
Ouch, she said.
That hurt. I'm sure Rizzo sympathizes, he said dryly. Here, help me get him out of sight.
Su'ulo ran forward.
Is he okay?
I think so, Han said, dragging Rizzo's limp form behind the speeder. Just knocked out is all. You hit people often? He asked Kira.
I've been wanting to hit someone all day, she said.
Anyone in particular?
She glared at him.
Forget I asked.
That was some hook. Han had been on the streets a long time, and he could count on one hand the number of times he'd seen someone get knocked out with a single hit from a human. Maybe Kira had an aptitude for fighting. She seemed to have an aptitude for a lot of things.
We can't leave him in the middle of the garage, Kira said, looking around to see if they'd been noticed.
The garage was nearly empty now, with all the speeders outside getting ready to race.
We have to stash him somewhere.
There's a tool closet over there,
Su'ulo suggested.
Everyone uses that closet, Han said.
He looked back and forth between Su'ulo and Kira. He knew exactly where they should stash Rizzo, but saying as much would reveal his most closely guarded secret. Or maybe not. Maybe he could manage to only sort of reveal it.
Over there,
Han said, indicating a direction with his head.
That gray speeder, hurry!
Kira and Su'ulo each grabbed a leg. Rizzo swinging between them, they moved toward the very heart of everything Han had been working toward for the past 2 years.
Huh,
said Kira as they approached. I don't know much about speeders, but isn't this one missing its engine?
Yeah,
he said, already regretting this.
That's why we can stash Rizzo here. The whole engine compartment is empty.
And check out that windshield, she went on relentlessly. It looks like it was salvaged from an old flash speeder. Holy moons, what a piece of junk.
It's not junk,
he snapped, before he could think better of it. Her eyebrows went up, and then she burst out laughing.
This is your speeder! This is why you're almost always late getting back to the lair!
Han opened the access hood.
I think you mean always almost late, he grumbled.
Su'ulo and Kira helped him lift and shove Rizzo until the elder Rodian fell into the empty compartment, all in a heap. Han slammed the compartment closed.
This speeder doesn't look like much, he felt compelled to explain. But I don't care about that. It's going to be the fastest speeder the Corellian streets have ever seen. I'm building the repulsor lift from scratch, see? Then I'm going to add stabilizers for extra maneuverability. Maybe paint it blue.
Kira shrugged. If you say so.
What are you doing?
Came a distinctly feminine voice.
The three world.
BJ, Han said, putting his hands up. I can explain.
A mechanical repair droid stood before them, hands fisted at her waist. She had a single round eye in the middle of her gunmetal gray head, and a grill for a mouth. A brown tool belt was slung over one shoulder.
You know each other?
Kira asked. But her eyes were darting everywhere, evaluating. That girl never stopped thinking.
BJ-64 is a friend, Han assured her. She's been helping me figure some things out. You trust me, don't you, B? You know I wouldn't do anything wrong.
BJ-64 whipped a hex wrench from her tool belt and brandished it, advancing on Han.
Without a good reason, he amended hastily. You know I wouldn't do anything wrong without a good reason.
Rizzo rents space in this garage just like you, BJ-64
said.
That means he's guaranteed safety, for him and his speeder. I saw what you did. I'm afraid I have to calm the garage owner.
A horn sounded somewhere outside, followed by cheering.
The first race is off,
Su'ulo said.
We can still make the second if we hurry.
BJ-64 said,
No racing for any of you tonight.
Look, Han said. We're not going to hurt Rizzo. I mean, any more than we already did. We just need to use his speeder for a while.
That thing? She exclaimed. That abomination? The only good use for Rizzo's speeder is molten scrap.
She continued to advance, hex wrench held high.
I'll make a deal with you, B. You let us go, don't calm anyone, and I'll strip Rizzo's speeder.
The hex wrench faltered in the air.
Oh?
We'll remove the hollow flames attachment, strip the extra fuel pump, and the bounce package.
The underlighting too? She said. The battery compartment creates a drag, you know, and when he puts it on the flash setting, it causes a hitch in the idle.
She was listening. This was going to work.
Absolutely. The underlighting goes too.
I guess the antennae should stay. They're part of his cultural heritage, as he puts it.
Sure, B. Whatever you say.
She lowered the hex wrench.
Fine. Take that thing out of my garage. Can I free Rizzo from your engine compartment after the races?
We'd appreciate it if you did.
How are you going to pilot it? She asked. His controls are encrypted.
Leave that to me, said Su'ulo. Come on, we have to hurry.
Han waved jauntily to his friend.
Thanks, Bee. See you soon.
He hoped, if he didn't get himself killed tonight.
What was that about?
Kira asked as they ran for the emerald green hover brick.
How did you know what to say to that droid?
I'll explain later.
They reached Rizzo's speeder, which was still idling loudly, ready to go.
You sure you can do this, Su'ulo?
Completely sure.
Su'ulo closed his eyes, breathed through his snout for a moment, and then said calmly,
The Force will be with me.
Whatever you say, pal.
Su'ulo wasn't the only religious person Han had known. And it seemed that the poorer people got on Corellia, the more its centers for religious worship overflowed. He'd heard that the Temple of the True Vine now offered 3 services per day to accommodate. Han didn't buy any of it, not one word. He didn't believe in any god, not a maker or a force, neither a sun nor a moon. But if someone took comfort and inspiration from religion, who was he to argue? As long as they didn't argue with him.
The speeder dashboard was a jumble of gauges and wires. Han had no idea how Saulo was going to figure it out. But after composing himself, the Rodian reached right in. He plucked a wire here, reattached it there, changed a setting, then plugged his datapad into a port and keyed in a few things with his long suction cup fingers. The speeder lowered itself to the ground for easy access, and the door slid open. Han couldn't believe it.
How did you do that?
Saulo shrugged.
I never ask how I'm going to do something. I just believe I can do it.
Huh. Han started to climb in.
Into the back seat, Kira ordered. I'm piloting.
Han wanted to drive this speeder so badly, it was like a pain in his chest.
You know how to pilot a speeder?
He asked. I had to learn for one of Lady Proxima's assignments. I've had a few lessons. Well, Han could drive a little too, but he'd never had lessons. Reluctantly, he climbed into the back seat. Saulo followed. They slid the door shut, and Kira gently guided the speeder from the garage bay and into the Corellian night.
I can't believe we're doing this, Kira said. I can't believe this is working.
It's not working yet,
Han pointed out. Rumbling speeders were lined up two wide and several deep. The only race position remaining was the back left. It was the absolute worst position to pull in a street race. Luckily, they didn't have to win. They just needed to make a good show of it while getting across town. The speeder lurched forward as Kira guided it into position.
Sorry about that, she called. This accelerator is touchy.
You sure you know what you're doing?
He called back. The pale blue holographic flames shimmied and danced around them.
Just punch the accelerator when it's time to go and don't crash, right?
Han had a bad feeling.
It's good we ended up in the rear position, Kira said over her shoulder. There's no one behind to keep an eye on us, see our amateur driving. And we can just drift away once we're across town.
She had barely finished her sentence when another speeder pulled in right behind them.
Blast,
Kira said as Saulo swore, using a string of words that Han was pretty sure described a Gamorrean in an anatomically improbable position. The speeder behind them was deepest black, and it rumbled heavily. Han couldn't see the pilot. The speeder's headlamps were too bright, and they fluttered, giving him a slight headache. Han figured it was a purposeful modification meant to confuse other racers.
Don't look at the light, Han warned Kira. It's meant to throw you off.
He saw her hands tighten on the controls.
You can do this,
he added. Kira was good at everything, he told himself. And she'd had lessons. She'd be fine. The street was dark, dangerously so. When it came to illegal street racing, no one bothered to light the routes or follow standard safety protocols. The speeders themselves lit the street, and a soft glow came from either side as onlookers keyed into datapads, making last-second bets. A nimbus of light far ahead marked Central Coronet and its resident nightlife. The race would take them right past it, into the darker, more dangerous part of the city. A Pollowick woman strode between the speeders toward the front, sashaying as she went. She held aloft a large white flag in her skinny arms, grimed with dirt and rust. The fabric rippled in the night breeze. The crowd went silent. It seemed that the thunder of idling speeders was the only sound in the world. It surrounded Han, filled him up, buoyed him. He found himself clutching his right hand, as if he could prep the accelerator by the force of his will. The Pollowick woman waved the flag. Around and around it went, until suddenly she swished it down and out of sight. The speeders ahead of them burst forward. Kira hit the accelerator, and their green brick lurched forward, swung crazily to the left, and almost tipped over.
Kira!
Han yelled.
Sorry!
She yelled back. But she got the speeder righted and zoomed to catch up with the others. Hollow flames streamed behind them, making the speeder seem as if it were on fire. Wind slicked Han's hair back, and his eyes stung, streaming with tears. He should have thought to snag racing goggles for all of them. No matter, this was going to work. Kira was doing just fine. They approached their first turn. They were several lengths behind the pack, except for the black speeder with flickering lights, which seemed content to draft on them for a while. No worries. In fact, it was better not to be in a hurry. Still, Han couldn't help yearning for a little more speed, a little more excitement. He wanted to see those other speeders up close and in action, listen to their purring repulsor lift engines, breathe deep of their exhaust. Was there any better smell than speeder exhaust? He couldn't think of one. His breath hitched when he realized something important. Kira was not braking or banking for the turn. Su'ulo started hollering that she was going too fast.
Yes! Kira yelled. I heard these races take turns hard. Best way to corner efficiently.
Experienced racers, sure. Not someone who'd only piloted a speeder a handful of times. Kira slammed into the turn. The rear end of the speeder skittered out from under them, careening into the base of a street lamp. Han's neck jerked with the impact, and he grabbed at the roll bar, expecting to flip. Kira hit the accelerator, powering them out of a potential crash, but Han could hear the whine of compromised metal. He looked behind them just in time to see the street lamp crash to the ground, showering sparks. The black speeder was still behind them, but it was choosing to remain at a safe distance. Smart.
I think we almost died back there, Han called out.
This is harder than it looks, Kira admitted.
Su'ulo started muttering.
What was that?
Han asked.
I'm praying to the Force,
Su'ulo said. Han didn't know much about religion, but he was pretty sure the Force wasn't something one prayed to. Now was not the time to argue, because they were approaching another turn. He caught a whiff of exhaust, and taillights flashed ahead. Kira had managed to gain on the others.
This is a much tighter turn, Su'ulo yelled.
What?
Kira yelled back.
It's a switchback, Han explained. The turn doubles back on itself, so you'll have to be ready.
Should I go faster? She said.
No!
He and Su'ulo said in unison.
Are you sure we should turn? She said. That's the wrong direction for us.
You're overthinking, Han said. The race route will get us there. Just trust the road and trust the speeder.
That makes no sense. Hold on, I'm going to speed up, then swing around the corner, pivot us on the speeder's fulcrum.
No!
They both said again.
Han, help!
Pleaded Su'ulo. Then to himself.
Force be with us. Force be with us. Force be with us.
The air lit up around them, flickering like a nightmare. The black speeder was making its move.
I can't see! Kira cried.
Though light blind, Hans thought he could detect a shape ahead and to the left. A regular land speeder. Someone hadn't gotten the message that this road was supposed to remain vacant for the night. It was parked between them and their switchback turn, and Kira was aiming right for it. Su'ulo swore. Han jumped over the seat into the front.
Get in the back,
he ordered, grabbing for the controls.
I can do it! I've been doing...
Now!
He barked. Clinging for her life to the roll bar, Kira clambered over the seat into the back, while Han slid into the spot she just vacated. He spent a precious moment orienting himself to the controls. Accelerator, right reverse thruster, left reverse thruster, power gauge, and... a hover adjustment lever. Oh, right. This abomination had a bounce package. The black speeder pulled up beside them, and the pilot shouted obscenities. Su'ulo made a rude gesture right back. It sped past, much to Han's relief, and he prepared to take them into the turn. Easy on the accelerator, gentle tap on the left reverse thruster, followed by harder tap right to pivot just so. The regular land speeder came into view. It was way closer than he'd realized.
Han, look out!
Kira called. Han punched the hover adjustment lever. A whoosh took his breath away as Han's rear pressed into the seat and their racing speeder jetted upward about 4 meters. It soared over the parked speeder. Han let out a yell of triumph. Then his heart leaped into his throat as they crashed back down. The speeder's belly skimmed the road, leaving a trail of sparks, before the repulsor lift kicked back in and their ride smoothed out. Han steered into the turn with ease. The road became a bridge as they crossed over one of Coronet's many waterways.
"Well, that takes care of the underlighting,"
Saulo yelled over the sounds of engine and wind.
"Pretty sure we left it back at that intersection."
"Think you can catch up to the others," Kira said. "We should at least make it look like we're trying."
They faced another hairpin turn, and Han took it gently. Before them stretched a vast straightway that would take them exactly where they wanted to go. In the distance, the taillights from the other racing speeders glowed like beacons against the night. Han grinned and hit the accelerator. He doubted Rizzo's speeder was up to the task of catching up. The Rodian seemed more interested in useless accoutrements than speed and power. It wasn't a philosophy Han shared. So he was pleasantly surprised to notice the lights ahead getting gradually closer and closer. Maybe the Rodian knew a little something about custom building after all. Water continued to stream from his eyes, and wind plastered his hair back. His damp clothes were icy against his skin, and he could hardly feel his fingers. This far back, away from the pack, they had the empty street all to themselves. He swept side to side just to get a feel for the controls, and the speeder responded with gratifying agility. It was like skimming air. No, like flying. The roots of Han's teeth began to ache. He realized he hadn't stopped grinning into the cold wind since he'd taken over the pilot's seat. Kira tapped him on the shoulder.
"We're getting close," she said in his ear. "I recognize this part of town."
He gave the accelerator another light boost. Too much fuel would clog the lines, slow them down. And he was delighted when the speeder shot forward. Along the road, steam rose from sewer vents as the night temperature continued to drop. They crossed another bridge, and street lamps cast shards of rusty orange onto the lapping black water. Ahead of them, the other racing speeders banked right. The route would loop around Central Coronet, then back to narrow Sinar Boulevard and the garage.
"Keep going straight," Kira ordered.
They left the boulevard and dipped downward, away from the city lights, into the district known as the Bottoms. Rebolt had once told them that the Bottoms used to be an old swamp, before shipbuilders had drained the land to put up more factories. No sewers led here. The land was too low, the water table too high. After decades of industry, pollution and water seepage had rendered the area all but unusable. It was a land of storage lots and junkyards, and sometimes it was hard to tell the difference between them. Only the poorest and most desperate lived and worked in the Bottoms. Han found it strange that Kira would keep a safe house here. The street narrowed, and Han was forced to slow down. Decay surrounded them. Boxy warehouses with broken windows, ramshackle huts made of scrap metal, and ragged beggars huddling beneath makeshift eaves. The air smelled of wet soot and burned meat. Though it was nighttime, everyone was about their business. Music drifted toward them, coming from the glowing open windows of a cantina. They passed a line of beings waiting at a rickety food stand that advertised eel skewers. Han's stomach growled. As soon as they were settled in Kira's safe house, he'd eat that dog biscuit he'd saved against her advice. Unless it was soaked in sewage from his swim. Well, actually, maybe even then. Kira leaned forward and said, "Turn left at the intersection." It was hardly an intersection, more like the confluence of a few crooked alleys. But he did as directed. "We'll have to hide the speeder," she said. "Any working vehicle in this district gets stripped clean before you can blink."
"Where should we hide it?" Han asked.
"Just go where I tell you."
She sounded cold and brusque, even more than usual. Maybe she was sore about him taking over the pilot's seat. Kira directed them through the warren of alleys and crooked side streets with confidence. The land sloped lower and lower. The cracked duracrete began to sheen through wetness. Here and there, stubborn weeds grew in clumps, clinging to any patch of soil they could find. In the cracked streets, along the walkways, even on rooftops. The buildings parted, revealing utter darkness. Han adjusted the light settings so he could see his way forward. A vast, swampy field stretched ahead, filled with long, stubborn grass and pollution-stunted trees. Giant, building-sized lumps dotted the field, like massive toads ready to spring. As they approached, the lumps manifested into something more recognizable, and Han gasped. They were starships, hundreds of them, all abandoned hulks, stripped of anything useful, rotting in the swamp.
The Freighter Boneyard,
Su'ulo whispered reverently.
I've heard of it, but I've never been here before.
Circle around the western edge, Kira said, pointing. They cruised by a looming shell of metal that in the distant past had housed a high cockpit centered above twin propulsion jets. A clothesline hung between the massive jets, and grimy fabric fluttered in the breeze.
People live here, Han breathed.
People live everywhere, Kira said. Always, no matter what, they find a way.
Is one of these ships your safe house? He asked.
Kira said nothing.
We'll have to be careful, Su'ulo said. This is Silo territory.
Everyone had heard of the Silo, a work camp filled with orphans, run by the nastiest people Corellia had ever seen, where the life expectancy was less than 18 cycles. Word on the street was the Silo made the White Worm Den seem like a palace of luxury and decadence.
There, Kira said. See that big tree? Pull the speeder in behind it.
Trees were uncommon in and around Coronet, so this one was easy to spot, even in the dark. A stunted thing with a huge trunk that grew from the side of a hill, reaching desperately for sunshine it hardly ever found. Behind the tree was a depression of sorts, an indentation in the land that made for a perfect hidden parking spot. Han turned off the speeder and jumped out. His boots made a squelching sound as he landed. They were smack dab in the middle of a bog. Kiro and Su'ulo landed beside him. Now that the speeder was turned off, they were in almost total darkness. A hint of moonlight diffused through thick clouds, giving both Su'ulo and Kira a bluish cast to their skin.
So, Han said, looking around at a big black nothing. This is it?
Solemnly, with obvious reluctance, Kira said, Welcome to my home, I guess. She turned, bent toward the steep hill, and yanked at something. An entire layer of sod lifted away, revealing a doorway.